Any questions so far? Questions, comments, reactions? Hola. All right. Let's go to the second part. Again, the starting scripture is Romans chapter 4. We'll read it again. It says, therefore, the promises comes by faith so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but to those who are of the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. Okay. We looked at God, who God is. And I do hope you take the time to take stock of your own image of God. One of the things that God did with us also, with my wife and myself, was to set up the breakthrough in our lives. One of the first things God dealt with us was our image of Him. And when we began to realize that who God was, when we began to see God as a father, it was easier to believe God for everything else. But when you always see God as a master, it's always the response is always work. I'm not saying don't work. What I'm saying is when you see Him as a father, work is no longer income. Work is walking with God. So it just changes so many things with the way you live and the way you face life. So then we talked about a little bit about the Word of God. I'm assuming you know the Bible and you do read the Bible. You have a devotional life and you do take the time to read the Bible. But just to highlight a few more things, we talked about the promises. Somebody made a study and they said there's about 5,600 plus promises in the Word of God. 5,600 plus. If you find one promise a day, it will take you more than 16 years to discover the promises of God. Now, how many of you know nobody finds one promise a day? Because if you're like me, when you find one promise, you stay there for a while, don't you? More like 6 months going back and forth. You read the other parts of the Bible. After you read about your 2 or 3 chapters, you go back to the promise again. And you go around there. And noon nga, when I was still in Iloilo, I had the chance that when I found a promise, I could actually make a series of preaching about it. Now we have a preaching series that we work with. So maybe I just file it and eventually get a chance to preach it. But 5,600 plus. Friends, there's a promise in that Bible for everything you will ever face in life. There's a promise in that Bible for every challenge you will ever face in life. Every wall you will face in life, there's a promise in that scripture. So I would like to encourage you to really go and read the scripture. And the 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20 says that no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes and amen in Christ. Can you imagine that? No matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. So look for those promises. Be promise conscious. When you find that, when you have to make a decision, when you're faced with a challenge, you can ask the question, Lord, what do you say? What is your promise for this? And don't be afraid to look for the promises, because some people don't want to look at it that way because they feel like we're making God into a genie, we're turning God into a genie. But look at it this way. Before you were ever born, God made these promises. So in other words, no one, not a single one of us, can force God to do this. Not a single one of us can force God or forced God to make this promise. He made this way ahead of us. And all we're doing is that we're reading His book of promises and saying, hey, Lord, you said this. Lord, now if this is for me, I'd like to ask for it. That's all we're doing. Okay? Then it says here, there's two words that's very prominent in this scripture on how the promises come. It says, grace and faith. The promise comes by grace and it comes by faith. So grace means unmerited favor. Normal definition for grace. We don't deserve God's favor, yet it is gladly given. We talked a little bit about that already. Talking about children again. My children do things sometimes that get us really ticked off. So much so that sometimes my wife and myself have to help each other. You parents know this, because if you discipline them at that point, it's no longer discipline, it's child abuse. You kind of know what I mean. So. But never yet has any of us looked at any of our children, you are so bad, you don't deserve breakfast. Why? Because their provision is not based on how good they are. Their provision is based on how good I am. And grace is like that. It's not based on how good you are. It's based on how good God is. That's why if you cannot believe that God is good all the time, it will be very difficult to live by faith. Because if God is not good all the time, when is He not good? I think you've heard me say this before. If God had a good mood and a bad mood, you know how difficult that would be? Diba pag nagpe-pray ka, Lord, how are you? Pag sinabi ni Lord, nainis ako, bakit anak? Oh, Lord, bukas tayo mag-usap. Pag sinabi niya, masaya ako, bakit anak? Timing, di ba? Lord, lalabas ko na yung listahan ko. Or, can you imagine an emergency situation, life and death, you're about to die, and you cry out to God, God help, and He's in a bad mood. Your next line, Lord, see you in heaven. So grace, we don't deserve it, yet it's gladly given. Romans chapter 3, verse 22 to 25, the righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There's no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in His blood. He did this to demonstrate His justice. In His forbearance, He had left sins committed beforehand unpunished. Okay, human reality, all of us have sinned. Not a single one is free from sin. But God's reality is Jesus died for our sins. And we said earlier, Jesus died for the sins that we threw against Him. Romans chapter 5, verse 7, 8. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In fact, another place in the scripture says, while we were still enemies of God. Will you die for your enemy? You know, the Bible says, love your enemies. Lord, I will struggle doing that. But to die for them, Lord, no. But that's what Jesus did for us. He died for us while we were His enemies. Before I gave my life to Christ, I had no intentions of serving God. The way I understand Scripture today. There was a religious bone in my life. And I wanted to do things for God. But I wanted to do it my way. Have you been there? Lord, let me serve you this way. But you know, God's dealing with you another way. Lord, wag yan, Lord. Dito, Lord, let me do this for you. Okay? And it took the grace of God to get me where I was and to bring me where He wanted me to be. You know, one of the most major, if not the major difference between Christianity and every other religion in the world is this whole issue of grace. Only in Christianity. See, they say a lot of the world religions, they're what you call good advice religion. Why? They advise you how to live. They advise you how to fix your life. They advise you how to fix your life, then you can go to God. That's basically every other religion in the world. Only in true Christianity that the starting point is not what you can do. The starting point is what Jesus already did. In fact, it is only in Christianity that tells you, get your messed up life and give it to God now, because it is He who can fix it, not you. Grace. The promise of God is a gift to you. If you can earn the blessing of God, hindi blessing tawag dun. Alam niyo tawag dun? Sweldo. Pwede siguro bonus. But if you can earn the blessing of God, you don't call it grace. Because you worked for it. So it comes by grace. Then the second thing is it comes by faith. It comes by faith. We read in the scripture earlier that the bottom line was Abraham believed God. We find out in Hebrews, we find out in other parts of Romans, in the book of Romans, that Abraham, against all hope, in hope, believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. He faced the fact, the Bible says, that his body was good as dead. So in other words, he didn't deny his situation. He didn't deny that it's impossible. But what he said was, though this is possible, God can do many things. And God can do this. If you were in Abraham's shoes, this was a very difficult proposition. At the age of 70, God tells him, I'm going to give you a son. So you can imagine already, Abraham, Lord, at 70, why did you wait till I was 70? But never mind. At 75, there's still no son. At 80, still no son. 85, still no son. So can you imagine Abraham and Sarah looking at each other? That every year that passes, it's becoming more and more impossible. Now, how many of us, when we pray for something and things are getting better, we get excited? Yes, malapit na. I can see God. Thank you, Lord. You're setting it up. Ito kay Abraham, iba. Every day that passes, Lord, palayo ng palayo to, Lord. He can see it in his wife. It's not gonna happen. Diba? Can you imagine? But the Bible says that he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, but did not waver in unbelief. Say, fully convinced that God who made the promise is able to fulfill the promise. By faith, God made the promise. God paid the promise. We know that God made that God deals with man in views or in covenantal ways. So he sets up covenants. We know there's a Mosaic covenant. When God dealt with them, God gave them the Ten Commandments. There's a covenant. Deuteronomy 28 talks about the covenant of the benefits of the covenant of Moses. If you obey, this is what's going to happen. If you disobey, this is what's going to happen. So God made a covenant with man. The powerful reality of the covenant in the New Testament is this. God did not make a covenant with man. God the Father made a covenant with God the Son. What does that mean? Why is that so powerful? Because when Jesus went on the cross, died on the cross, resurrected after 3 days, every condition of the covenant has been fulfilled. See, every promise has a condition. Every covenant has a condition. But when God made a covenant with the Son and Jesus fulfilled the covenant, every condition of the covenant has been fulfilled. So when you ask God for provision, every condition for provision has been fulfilled. When you ask God for protection, every condition for protection has been fulfilled. When you ask God for His purpose, every condition for your purpose has been fulfilled. What do we do now? We simply attach to Jesus by faith. That's all we do. Jesus fulfilled everything. All I need to do now is to believe that Jesus did it for me. That's what faith does. Believing. You're not believing because sometimes we think that faith is will. You're trying to convince yourself, diba? When you're saying, God will provide. Lord, I ask you for this provision, and you feel like it's not going to happen. You're trying to will yourself. I believe this. Diba? It's not that at all. It's trusting in Jesus. That's why the opposite of faith is not doubt. Why? Because in the midst of doubt, you can take a step of faith. You've done it many times. Lord, this is scary, but Lord, you said in your word, all right, I'm going to do this. And you jump in and you trust God. The opposite of faith is fear. Because fear paralyzes you. It puts you in a place where you can't do anything. And faith and fear work the same way. How does faith grow? Faith grows. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Every time you read the Word of God, faith gets stronger in your life. How does fear work? By meditating on the bad things that are about to happen in your life. Diba? Just recently, lumabas sa Facebook, flesh-eating disease. Natakot na lahat. Why? Because they're focusing on the bad things. But friends, when you go through the whole prophecy, this flesh-eating disease was a small part. Everything else was about what God wanted to do in this nation. So when you read the whole prophecy, you get encouraged, Lord, you want to do this. And when you get to the flesh-eating part, you have the faith to believe God that God can take care of this. Another example, some guy goes to the doctor, some tests, he has feel some things, and the doctor says, we'll do more things. 1 week, we'll have a series of tests to make sure. Doc, pero doc, ano to? Just give me a hint. What is? Sabi ng doctor, sa tingin ko, cancer yan. Nako, wala na. Hanggang matapos lahat ng tests, the man already has cancer. He already said goodbye. He's working on everything already. He's living his best. Tapos after 5 days, sabi na, ah, nagkamali pala ako. Ano lang pala yun? Impatio lang pala yun. I know this is a crazy, crazy example. But let me tell you, di ba? For 5 days, that man had cancer. Why? Because he started meditating on it. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. Hearing by the Word of God. Faith. The promise comes by grace and comes by faith. Friends, I realize this. The only way, di ba we talked about earlier, God guaranteed the promise. The only way the promise can be guaranteed to all of us is by grace and by faith. Why? Because if it's by gifting, guess what? There's other people more gifted than we are. Don't you hate it sometimes that you have friends who are so gifted that you're struggling with something and you ask them help and they look at it, ah, ganito lang yan! Ganito lang. And you're wondering, ilang gabi ka na para, but ganyan, unfair. Aren't you glad it's not based on gifting? Why? Because now we're in this together. The amazing thing about this also is God qualified you, not me. You didn't qualify yourself. Jesus qualified us. Ever joined a club before? And when you join a club, they have an application form. And somebody has to vouch for you. Somebody has to say that you're of good character and everything like that. Diba? To qualify you. Here, Jesus qualified you. Before even you wanted to join. Kinalify ka na ni Jesus. Naghihintay na lang. This is the promise fulfilled club. Jesus qualified you. The question now is this. Are you willing to believe this and embrace it? Or are you do you still want to go the other way that you used to go? The Bible also says that God has given each one of us a measure of faith. Okay? The word measure means exact. So in other words, God has given us the exact faith. And I want to share this, encourage you with this. If you had faith to get born again, you have faith to believe God for anything. If you have the faith to pray, you have the faith to believe God for anything. Pastor Jay, bakit minsan yung iba mukhang malakas yung faith, yung iba hindi? Alam mo saan nagkakatalo? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How much of the Word of God is inside of you? Isn't it true where the Word of God is inside of you deep is the area where you have the faith the most? All right? So if you have a faith problem, you have a word problem. So you put the Word of God inside of your heart. All right, let's go to the third part. I took the time especially in the first part because I realized for many, even including myself, that was the biggest struggle. It's really coming to a different image of God. Because the next one I'm going to teach you or share with you, most of us know this already, and I knew this years already. Before the breakthrough happened. The breakthrough happened when I began to realize who God was. More and more in my life. So here, as we talk about this, I want to encourage you to look at this in the area of this is a promise from God. Okay? I'm going to talk about tithing. I want you to realize that tithing is not just a law, it is a promise. So many times, if you look at it as a law, it's really a burden. But when you begin to see it as a promise, it changes things. Okay, Philippians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul says this, "And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." So the Apostle Paul here is declaring a promise to the people. If you read the context, he's declaring that God will supply his needs to a poor church that was being used by God to supply somebody's need or his need. And he says, God will supply all your needs according to his glorious riches. So he's looking at this from the perspective of a promise. So as we look at this now, I want us to see that. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 and 12. It says, "I, the Lord, do not change. So you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed." Do you see the promise? God never changes. Wow. Can you imagine what that means? That means who he was before is still the same today. What he did in the scripture, he still does today. He never changes. Then he goes on. "Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me, but you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I'll not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing you will not have room enough for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and vines in your field will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land." Ang problema natin dito minsan, ang struggle natin is because we only see, will you rob God? You rob God in tithes and offerings. And then we begin to argue, is the tithe part of the law? Or are we supposed to be under the tithe? Are we supposed to be under the law? Now we can argue either. I've heard arguments saying no, and I've heard arguments saying yes. And you can see truths in all of this. But so many times we miss it. And the question is this, do you want the promise? Do you see the promise? God says, see, it may not be in the law anymore, but the promise still stands. And I read a book about a Jewish Christian, and he made a statement that affected me as well. He said, when you see the law, you have to realize that you're looking at a way of life that God wants you to experience. It's not that God is trying to curtail you and control you. He's trying to give you a life of amazing blessings if you're willing to see what the law says. And then there's another guy who said this, in every law comes a promise. When the law says, thou shalt not kill, it comes with a promise. Therefore, God will give you the grace not to be a killer. Every law comes with a promise. And here you see in tithing, he says, will a man test me in this? The Bible says, if I not throw open the floodgates of heaven. Now, if you're like me, a human being, I want the floodgates with no requirements. Diba? Sana kung pwede ko nakawan si Lord, tapos bukas pa rin yung floodgates, di okay. And many times, that's what we want. But here it says, test me in this, if I'll not open the floodgates of heaven. So when you look at the tithe, there's many descriptions of the tithe. The tithe is the first. It's the first fruits. It's your best. We can argue whether you should tithe on the gross or the net. I can't really answer that just as a question. I probably need more details and help you walk through that. But there's another other question. Where do you tithe and things like that? But I do hope you begin to realize that this is not just a law that we follow. This is a promise God gave us. And when you begin to see the tithe, I began to see something. God gave us a way out of the out of the limitations of our world. God gave us a way out of the limitations of our world. When you bring your tithe to the Lord, what you do is you take your finance from the realm of the natural and you transfer it to the realm of the supernatural. And when that happens, everything is possible. Our problem many times as Christians is we want to write off our tithe. When we work on our budget, para hindi mabigat, para hindi ko pag-iisipan yan, pag binigay ko na, hindi ko na pag-iisipan yan. Kasi binigay ko na yan. So pagdating, paggawa mo ng budget, and I've seen people do this, when they work on their budget, part of the expenses is the tithe. And I keep correcting them. Your tithe is not an expense, it is an investment. See, when you write your tithe as an expense, you don't expect anything from it. But when you tithe and you see your tithe as an investment, you expect a return. I get a chance to pray and pray, Lord, I thank you that I'm a tither. And because I'm a tither, Lord, I ask you to open the windows of heaven, Lord, and provide for this need now in the name of Jesus. Read Deuteronomy 26. It talks about how you tithe there. And part of tithing there is confessing, Lord, you transferred me from the land of difficulty to the land of promise. You transferred me from slavery to the fulfilling your promise. You transferred me from this land to the promised land. Lord, you transferred me from poverty to prosperity. And then at the end part of Deuteronomy 26, he says, Lord, because I have not touched the holy thing, because I have set apart what's for you, I ask you now to look down from heaven and bless your people. The confidence of the tither. Because he began to realize that tithing is not just a law, it's an exchange. I placed there in your handout, I think, just some tithing thoughts. The tithe is not an expense, it is an investment. The tithe is not a loss, it is an exchange. Your tenth is exchanged with God's blessing. That's a covenant mentality. You know, remember the first time there was tithing in the Bible? Abraham gave his tithe. Melchizedek brought out bread and wine. What's bread and wine? Communion. Tithing is a covenant with God. When I bring my tithe, my covenant, I'm connected to God. The tithe is not a law. It is an expression of faith and trust. The tithe is not a demand for obedience. It is a joyful expression of worship. The tithe is not giving from your lack, but giving from what God has miraculously supplied. You know, one of the things I like about the tithe, because God doesn't tell you to give what you don't have. It assumes that if you're a tither, that God has been giving. Lord, for me to be a tither, there's a promise. He's going to give, because I cannot give if he won't. So there's so many promises that surround the tithe. And so many times as Christians, we just look at the act and we forget everything and we struggle with letting go of the 10%. But when you realize the promises that go around with it, man, God has given you the way out of your limitations, the way out of the limitations of your job. See, I began to realize, now we don't have time to talk about this, but I began to realize that my job is not income. Kasi ganito yan eh, I realized this. Biro mo kung ang trabaho ko is my income. If God gave me a low-paying job, did God curse me? See, my job is only part of my walk with God. I began to realize that my salary is only part of my income. Because God has a way of getting everything to me beyond what my salary. Now, I'm not telling you not to dream of a great job. I'm not telling you to dream of a business that can pay for everything you've ever dreamed of. I'm not telling you to stop doing that. But what I'm saying is, where you are today, you don't have to be bound by the limitations of where you are today. And one of the ways God can get you out of the limitations where you are today is through tithing. That God can begin to bring the breakthrough in your life. The second thing, sowing and reaping. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 and 11. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you'll abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now look at this. Now he who supplies seed to the sower
and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed. And will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You'll be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Now, another set of amazing promises. Sow sparingly, reap sparingly. Sow generously, reap generously. Now, if you're like me, sana pwede sow sparingly, reap generously. Pero hindi yun yung promise. The promise is sow generously, reap generously. You'll abound in every good work. You'll be made rich in every way. Wow. These are promises from the scripture. I began to realize that all I need to begin to prosper is seed. If I can put seed where God wants me to put seed, I can begin to prosper. Where do I get seed? I get seed from my salary. I get seed from love gifts. I get seed from, if you have sell something, you have commissions. As long as I tell my children, where do they get their seed? From their allowance. If you can get seed and begin to sow it, you can begin to prosper. We have been pastors for many years. The major change happened in the year 2000. So I've been in the ministry since 1989. And when we got married in 1991, one of the things we talked about with my wife, the tithe is non-negotiable. So despite the difficulty we went through, we kept tithing. By the year 2000, a friend of mine started sharing me the truths I'm sharing with you today about sowing and reaping. And we have been pastors for many years, and we have never seen anything like this happen in our lives until we began to embrace this full on. I told my wife, I said, we gotta find out if this works or not. We can't just get part of this and just be. I was telling him, this is the only way out I see that we have today. So we started seriously sowing and reaping. We started setting aside 500 pesos a week and started praying. Lord, somebody needs 500 pesos. Where do you want us to bring it? Who do you want us to give it to? Lord, we will do it. So we were setting aside 500 pesos. We would pray. Aside from our tithe. Lord, para kanino to? And when the Lord gives us a place, we will bring it. If not, next week, it's 1,000. And we did this. I know you're facing limitations. But friends, I want to encourage you to jump in and start believing God supernatural. You don't have to copy my stories. Please, I hope you don't copy the stories. But I do hope you start where you are, telling God, Lord, I want to start living by faith. Help me, Lord. Show me what you want me to do. We started doing this. We have been pastors for many years. It's only after we started doing this, people started showing up in our homes, in our house, knocking on the door. Pastor Jure, the Lord told us to give you this. 2,000 pesos, 1,500 pesos. My wife and myself, we were looking at each other. What an exchange. Lord, one day we got so excited because I showed up in a pastor's home, not from Victory, but in our city. And I knocked on his door and said, Pastor, the Lord told me to give you this. And he was almost in tears. I said, Pastor, what's wrong? He said, do you know, kakatapos ko lang mag-pray. Humihingi ako kay Lord ng 500 pesos pambayad ng kuryente ko. Kasi puputuli na daw. And there I was in front of his door giving him 500. I went home. I told my wife, we heard God. And we got so excited. Again, some Christians treat this like lotto. Bigay lang ng bigay, balang araw, ja-jackpot ka rin. hindi ho ganyan. Let God lead you. Let God lead you. Started doing this, people started showing up in their home. Then a few years later, God told us to increase it. 700, 1,000, at 1,000 a week. That was already more than half what we were getting. Not including the tithe. You know, God's faithful. You know, till today, I still get text messages. I still get emails sometimes. I still get phone calls. People tell me, Pastor Jure, you don't know me, but I know you. And the Lord told me, I need to give you some money. Can I get your bank account, please? What do you think our response is? Sure, have fun with it. It's amazing. It's amazing what God can do.
My daughter one time was complaining about her allowance. I said, I can show you a way to get more without me increasing what I give to you. Are you willing? She said, yeah. So we started talking about this. How much are you getting? How much do you want? Started telling him, sow sparingly, reap sparingly. Bring the tithe, teaching them. And she started doing. 3 months later, I said, so how much are you getting? She got what she was wanting. Don't let your circumstance stop you. Take steps of faith. I remember my son coming to me. He was in high school. He said, Dad, I've been given a chance to join the robotics team that will compete in Hawaii. Can I go? I said, sure. He said, Dad, it's going to cost a lot of money. Never mind. Just fill up the forms. He said, okay. Sure enough, the school sent us a letter. Your son has been. How much can you give? Our answer, nothing. But he made it in Hawaii. When they competed in Hawaii, they did so well, they qualified for the world. Nobody thought they would qualify for the world competition. They were taking apart the robot. One of the organizers, Team Philippines, we'll see you in Atlanta. And everybody's looking, Atlanta? What do you mean Atlanta? See, you qualified for the world. So they were not ready. They had to go back to the Philippines in 2 weeks, get a new visa, because they were just given one entry, and raise the rest of the money to go to Atlanta. Because no. They ask us again, how much can you give? 10,000 pesos. They all left. He came back with more money than when he left. I can tell you story after story. From children, from people. One of the guys in our church in Iloilo today was walking in the city because if he paid a jeepney ride, that will remove money that he could put on his table. He was in construction when the financial crisis hit. He lost all clients. They couldn't pay him, so he was in debt. Just 3 weeks ago, we were in a wedding. I was asking him how he was. I've seen him. I've seen how God has blessed him. And he started telling me story after story after story. How God has turned him around. But this man was so faithful. He had a project. He would go out of town. He'll call me, Pastor Dre, I have to go out of town. I won't be in church on Sunday. Can I give you the tithe? I want to make sure my tithe gets to the church. He would sit down with me, Pastor Jurey, this project is this, but they're just giving me a down payment. Should I tithe at the beginning? Or we were working with this. I said, where's your faith? What do you want to do? What do you think God wants you to do? And God has turned him around. You can never outgive God. We've done sowing and reaping for practically every area of our life. Tuition fee, that's what we do. Six kids, sending six kids to school. Every year is a miracle. Every time tuition fee is just around the corner, we're looking at each other, my wife and myself again. Here's another miracle. But we're active. I ask. Pastors call me, Pastor Jurey, there's this kid here. There's this disciple. His parents died last term in school. Would you like to help him finish his school? Talk to my wife. Should we be involved? My wife says, yes. How much? Then we send. We don't pay everything, but we sow into it. And when the time comes for our tuition fee, it's amazing what God does. Trips. We want to go on a trip with my family. You know, with all the promo fares, with my family of six kids plus my wife and myself, wala pa kami, kahit promo fare, 300 pesos na lang yung fare, 20 mil pa rin para sa buong pamilya ko. But we're believing God. So when I hear pastors going on a vacation, when I hear some Christian, I ask my wife, hey, somebody's going to go on a vacation. Should we be involved? Should we? So why? Because we want to go on a vacation. Cars. It's amazing what God has done with our cars. How God has provided one after the other. We had to use a 1978 really old car. Kulay kalawang daw, sabi nila. Pag umuulan sa labas, may konting ulan sa loob.
But that car served us well. It got us from point A to point B. I can tell you how many times we were so thankful we had that car. But the Lord told us, if you want another car, give your car away. And we gave it away. Again, we got so excited because I called this pastor. Pastor, the Lord told me to give you our car. And the pastor kept quiet. I said, Pastor, what's wrong? I said, do you know, Dre, I was walking from a Bible study last night. Walking home, there's no jeepney ride left. 10:30 in the evening. I was telling the Lord, Lord, I need a car to do this better. And the next day, I'm calling him. The Lord told us to give you our car. When he finally got the car, the whole family was standing outside the house watching the car drive away. Gabi yun eh. That was our favorite car. Because that was our only car anyway. So they're looking at the car driving farther and farther away. And then my wife says, when we get our car, I'm going to watch that new car drive in here closer and closer. Sure enough, 1 month later, a friend of mine calls me 6 o'clock in the morning. He says, Jure, I've been trying to get in touch with you last night. I said, I'm sorry, I slept early. He said, what's up? I heard God as clear as anything last night. I said, what's that? He said, my F-150 belongs to you. Come pick it up. After using that F-150, my friends were telling me, some of my family said, kawawa ka sa gas. I said, Lord, if you gave the car, you're going to provide the gas. So I ask you for full tank every week. It's amazing what God did. Full tank every week for 3 months. Then I said, Lord, I believe you now. 2 years later, I'm using that car. The mileage is going high. It's starting to have some issues. I'm driving around Luzon. And we're asking, Lord, we need a new car. My brother visits me one time. He says, you know what? I have a friend who wants exactly your F-150. Exact model, exact year. Said he has my old F-150 was a 98. His was a 2000. And he said, he'll probably swap with you. So he calls his friend, not a Christian. He says, my brother has the F-150 you're looking for. Do you want it? He sends his brother to check it out. And we exchange, clean swap. No additional cost. Higher mileage, lower mileage. 2 years later, number 6 is on the way. My wife says, we can't fit in the car anymore. So we're believing God for a car. And then what happened? My wife says, I want to see this car come in just as wild as we've seen it in the past. And sure enough, somebody gives me the cash to buy a brand new vehicle. And 1 month before my wife gives birth, the brand new car comes. It's amazing. You can never outgive God. From second car, I heard this pastor, this minister raising money. We started doing this. I heard this minister raising money, looking for money to buy 2 tires because his tires was already worn out in his car. I talked to my wife, said, hey, she's looking for tires. Do we help? Do we sow there? And my wife says, let's pray. And the next day I tell them, hey, my wife and myself agreed. We want to buy you your tires. Can you buy your tires? Tell me how much it is and we'll pay for it. That's where we started. Gas. I'm driving with a pastor in the province. He's using his car. He drives into the gas station. I'm praying, Lord, do I sow? Why? Because I've got nice cars, but it's just a matter of time. It will be old. So I'll need more cars in the future. Two of my kids are driving already. So we're praying, Lord, do I put gas? Do I sow for my car in the future? We're constantly sowing and reaping. You can never outgive God. I can tell you more stories, but we'll end there because I want to give you some time to ask questions. If you have no questions, okay to.
Yes.
I was thinking kasi, you said yung measure of faith. I was thinking before, parang, how do you actually measure faith? Is it deep or wide, or is it like a muscle, strong or weak?
Well, the closest or the most usable illustration for me when it comes to faith, it's like a muscle. The more you use it, the stronger it gets. So the more you read into the word and you apply it in your life, the stronger faith gets. I have right now, in the past, all our needs are met. But once in a while, I have something I put my faith out on. And we have agreements with my wife. I'm going to get this. I promise you, I'm not going to get it from the budget. I'm going to believe God for this. So my wife, when my wife wants something, we have agreements sometimes. That's why she can ask for anything as long as she asks God, not me. I tell my kids that as well. You can ask for anything as long as you ask God, not me. And I'm just going to believe God with you. And there are times that I put my faith out. And in the natural, when people look at it, it's crazy. You don't need it. It's just expense. But it's faith developing for me. See, I realize this. If I can't believe God for a car, how can I believe God for a house? If I can't believe God to pay for a brand new car, how can I believe God to pay for a house? See, I'm not close to the option that God will do it installment. But I am hoping and believing that God will just drop there. Because I don't like debt. I guess one of the things that saved my wife and myself in the midst of financial difficulty, we both didn't like debt. And we stayed away from it. In fact, the first time I did it was for an air conditioner, and it was only 800 pesos a month. But boy, if you don't have 800 pesos, that it will make you go crazy, doesn't it? People sometimes, 300 lang yan eh. Okay lang yan kung may 300 ka, kung wala kang 300, pareho lang yan. And sometimes I don't like that. So I stay away from it. So, you know, do you understand? So right now, I'm about to do something. We've been talking about it. I'm in this place where we're, Lord, do I do it? I'm telling my wife, do I do it? My wife says, okay sa akin. It makes it more harder. A lot harder. Sabi, parang gusto minsan. Sabi mo na lang, ayaw mo para, okay, Lord, wag na. But I'm in this right now. Lord, do I do it? Do I jump in and buy this? Or don't I? Because this will put pressure on something that's comfortable today. But I'm not doing it. Obviously, it's something I like. But I'm not doing just because I like it. I want to do it because I want to develop my faith. I learned this from my friend. My friend is wild. Really, really wild. He told me, Jure, I realized, I bought land. I realized, anong pala, apat lang na motorsiklo to. Kaya ko to. Because he's been believing, he loves motorcycles, so he's changing one motorcycle. And people make, where does he get the money? What does he do? Why does he do it? He's a minister, and so all these things. But he said, Jure, they don't understand. I'm just working on my faith. Working on my faith. So now, he goes to Ayala. He buys land in Ayala. He tells Ayala, the salesman, don't do a CI. Don't do a credit investigation, because I'll tell you now, you won't find anything because there's nothing. But all I can tell you is I can pay. I guess Ayala was desperate. They said, okay, sir, fill up the form. First down payment, 600,000. For 3 years, 180,000 a month. Fully paid. Wild. After 6 months, Ayala calls him, sir, there's another. The lot beside your lot is available for sale. Do you want it? Now, two lots are paid. He just bought a Ducati, 1.5 million for a motorcycle. But he said, Jure, people look at me and they say things. They can say things. But I'm developing my faith. I want my faith to grow. If I cannot pay for a 1.5 motorcycle, how can I pay for a $20 million house? If I don't have faith to believe God for 2 million, how can I believe God for 20 million? Now, I'm not telling you to do it, okay? This is him. This is God dealing with him. This is not God dealing with you and me, okay? God. The danger sometimes is we hear this story, oh, kaya ko rin yan. But what does God do to you? How does God deal with you? Okay. Any other question? I'm sure Dennis will put us all in order later. Any other question? 5 more minutes. Yeah, well, we can pray. All right. I'll just say this then. If you have any questions and you see me around here, feel free to ask me. Okay. Don't. I hope you don't get intimidated. Hindi ko kaya tanungin si ano. You can ask me. One of the reasons I am where I am right now because I asked a lot and I follow a lot of people. Even people I don't agree with, I check out what they say because I always want to see what God wants to do for me. I buy books by people I don't agree with just to see. what they have to say. And so please do ask. And I hope that you grow in faith. All right? So we'll just pray right now. I want to try to do something here. I want you to ask God for something. Okay? And we'll stand together. I believe there's faith here. We'll stand together here. And I want to encourage you with this. When God answers it, I want you to share it with us so we know we can rejoice with you. So ask God for something. Please don't ask for an iPhone, but ask for something that's really a desire in your heart. I'm not saying don't ask for a phone, but what I challenge you is ask something that looks impossible for you and believe God for it, because it takes time to get there. So today could be the start. All right? So let's just believe God right now. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, for the truth of your word. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are a God who supplies everything. Lord, you are a God who provides everything. Lord, I thank you, Lord God, that even, Lord, as we continue to faithfully tithe, Lord God, we thank you, Lord, that the windows of heaven are open above us, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that you can look down from heaven right now and bless your people. And right now, Lord God, we come to you with this need. We come to you with this desire, and we ask you for this in the name of Jesus. Go ahead and ask God for it. And say, Lord, I ask you for this right now. We thank you right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you.